May God add his blessing to the reading of our scripture this morning, and may the words from my mouth be just the right words we need to hear. Today our nation celebrates Independence Day, the day that 13 original colonies joined together to declare their independence on Great Britain. The first time we were ever called the United States of America was in the Declaration of Independence. Think of it, July 3rd, we were a bunch of colonies. July 4th, we were a brand new nation, the United States of America, with great hopes and great dreams. I hope that you will take some time today to think about these things and to recognize and give God thanks for the many blessings we enjoy here in America. This country is not perfect. We have many problems, but it's still a great country, and it always will be as long as her people are faithful to God and to one another. Of course, no holiday would be as much fun without a laugh somewhere along the way. Like the little boy who was asked to say the Pledge of Allegiance, he got all flustered and he blurted out, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one naked individual with liberty and justice for all." Well, one naked individual might be too much liberty for some of us, but I'm sure that boy's heart was in it, even if his brain and his mouth let him down that time. I hope that all of us will take some time today to think about the strengths of our nation, as well as the weaknesses, and what we can do to help make it stronger, to help build it into a country that will last another 245 years, as Jack mentioned. There are some well-meaning people who believe that pointing out any weakness in our country is not patriotic. They're like the business owner who wouldn't let his wife or any of his employees point out any of his shortcomings. And so they had a fancy company banquet, and there he was asked to step forward and say a few words to the people there. And there he stood in front of all of these people that worked for him for almost 30 minutes with a big piece of lettuce stuck between his front teeth. But nobody in the place, everybody saw it, but nobody had the guts to tell him. Sometimes the person who points out our weaknesses is our greatest friend. I've had some of those embarrassing moments of my own. Somebody told me my fly was down after the service was over. That wasn't very helpful. Today's lesson is about personal weaknesses. We all have them. It doesn't matter what image we present to the world. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter what our title is at work. We all have weaknesses. The problem is that we live in a prosperous, image-driven society, and nobody puts their weaknesses out there for others to see on Instagram or on Snapchat. We only put our best, our airbrushed images out there. We don't want people to see our flaws. Some of our weaknesses are physical, some are mental, some are moral. Some of the weaknesses have to do with work, some with family. Some of our weaknesses have to do with our relationship with other people and with God. Some of us have short tempers. Others struggle with depression or anxiety, which we've talked about recently. Some of us are too proud. Others could be stronger, give in too quickly. But all of us, without exception, have weaknesses in some area of our lives. Paul, the great apostle, had his weaknesses. One in particular gave him a great deal of heartache. We don't know what it was, for sure, but he called it his thorn in the flesh. Paul prayed that God would take away this thorn in the flesh. He says that three times he begged God, but God's answer to him was always, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, trust me, Paul. I'll take care of you, and I can use your weakness to show my power. We can learn from this. Paul learned not only to accept his thorn in the flesh, but he even began to boast of his weakness in order to show the power of Christ, the power of God. I think there's a wonderful lesson here. Our weakness, whatever it might be, can become our strength if we commit it to God. Our weakness can become a strength, first of all, if it makes us grow. When we grow beyond fear, beyond self-centeredness, beyond immaturity, or whatever else it might be, then we can reflect God's glory, and God's glory can shine in our weaknesses. When others see us, even though we have maybe a thorn in the flesh, when they see us grow in patience, in wisdom, in courage, and in faith through our heartaches, then that's when God's glory shines. They might even say, I see God in you. I want what you have. Some of you might remember tennis superstar Arthur Ashe. At the height of his career, he contracted AIDS from a blood transfusion. Now, Arthur Ashe was a great tennis player, but the world came to admire him even more for his courage in facing his horrible illness that he had that eventually took his life. In an interview, as he commented, he said this, "If I asked why me about my troubles, I would have to ask why me about my blessings. Why did I win Wimbledon? Why did I marry a beautiful girl, a gifted woman, and have a wonderful child? Why me?" I think that's an incredible way to look at it. Arthur Ashe understood that God uses our joys and our sorrows to grow us into the people that shine God's light. Someone said, our disappointments are God's appointments. And I think that's sometimes true. Painful experiences help us grow. It's only human for each of us to pray for God to fix our troubles. But we know that doesn't always happen. Paul did that. He says he prayed 3 times. He pleaded. I know many people who pleaded and begged God. What do we do? What do we do when God doesn't fix the problem? That's the time when I think, and may I suggest that it's the time when we need to pray. Pray for God to reveal himself in whatever it is that's troubling us. Show himself. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God showed himself to Paul. My power is made perfect in weakness. When we give up on our own strength and we rely totally on God to help us through troublesome times, that's when we really discover God's character and God's faithfulness. And we discover that he keeps his promises to always be with us. Have you ever reached a point in your life where you're pleading with God to change you or change something about you or to change your circumstances? Does it seem like God doesn't hear you? He's silent. May I suggest that instead of asking God to fix your troubles, ask God to reveal himself in your troubles. We're always going to God, asking him to fix things. Often we forget that he doesn't fix some things so that he might reveal himself to us. We need to, I think, admit that the only way we're going to get through whatever is happening is with God's strength. And we need to look for opportunities to grow in courage and in compassion and to become wiser so that we can help others in similar situations. Our weaknesses become strengths if they help us grow. Our weaknesses can also become strengths if they make us more determined to give our best in all situations. Remember, your life isn't just about you. If you believe in God as your creator, the one who made you, then you know that he made you for a greater purpose than your own happiness and your own comfort. He put you here for other reasons. When people look at you, at your character, at your choices, at your priorities, at the way you treat others, at your actions, they should see the power and the truth and the love of God through you. They should be inspired or comforted or challenged or changed because they know you. So how you choose to respond to your weakness matters to more than just you. It matters greatly to others. Bethany Murray is an artist from Boston. Her paintings look like fantasies, magical forests filled with light and colors and all sorts of strange shapes. Her fans say that looking at her works of art are like looking at a beautiful landscape through a kaleidoscope. The secret to her unique and beautiful paintings is the pain that she suffers. Bethany has suffered from chronic migraines for more than 20 years now. Besides the intense pain of the headaches, she's also very sensitive to light and to sound, and she has distortions in her vision when she has a migraine. And so rather than give up her art and hide in bed, she turns her pain into beauty. She says, "My paintings have been proof to myself of what I experience during an attack, and despite the pain, I've made the choice to see the good, the weird, and the beautiful." Paul says that God shines in our weaknesses. If we let our weakness help us to grow, and if it causes us to give our best in all situations, our weakness can also become a strength if it helps us to change our life. Sometimes what seems like a weakness is really just a sign that we're going down the wrong trail and that we need to reevaluate. In the opening paragraph of Winnie the Pooh, Milne writes these words: "Here is Edward Bear coming downstairs. Bump, bump, bump on the back of his head behind Christopher Robin. It is, as far as he knows, the only way of coming downstairs, but sometimes he feels that there really is another way. If only he could stop bumping for a moment and think of it. If you keep bumping your head, coming down the stairs, maybe it's time to stop and think. There might be another way to come down the stairs." Sometimes our so-called weaknesses are just warning signs that we're on the wrong road. Since this is the day we celebrate our independence, I thought I might tell you a little story about one of the best-known figures back in those days. And in the efforts regarding independence, he was a man who needed to start over. You may have heard of him. His name was Patrick Henry. Even though Henry is seen as a patriot and as a great speaker, for years, Patrick Henry was a failure. He opened a store. His store failed. Then his father-in-law set him up in farming, gave him a 300-acre farm, a nice house, and he failed as a farmer. And then finally, on the suggestion of some friends, Patrick turned to law, and he found pretty quickly that he was a natural persuader. He was a good speaker. He captivated his audiences. And so as a lawyer, he became an instant success. His voice was one of the voices that moved the colonies toward a break with England. Remember his famous words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Perfect words at the perfect time. Exactly what the people needed to hear. Patrick Henry was never a failure. He was just in the wrong field for much of his life. And finally, And most important of all, our weaknesses become strengths if they remind us that we have to depend on God. Look at Paul. Paul was a man, remember his story? He was Saul, a man who persecuted the church, a man who had to battle an affliction, this thorn in the flesh that he talks about. Yet God used him to plant churches all over the known world at that time. Paul was a man of tremendous intellect. He was also very persuasive. Maybe if it hadn't been for his thorn in the flesh, he would have been more likely to rely on his own ability rather than on God working through him. And we would never have heard of the Apostle Paul. His weakness became his strength. And the same thing can happen to us. If our weakness helps us to grow, if it makes us more determined to succeed, if our weakness causes us to try new things, and if our weakness reminds us to rely on God. There was a young woman whose life shined through her weakness. Kristen Fursovich was her name. She was a Canadian singer and songwriter who was known for her faith in God and her infectious joy. She just lit the room up whenever she walked in. In June of 2011, Kristen was diagnosed with cancer. She was 27 years old. The doctor said it was inoperable. She cried, as anyone would. She prayed. She pleaded with God, as anyone would. But she also, in the end, made up her mind to make the best of it and to face every day with joy. Everyone who met her was inspired by the joy that they saw in her. And one day, during her prayer time, she says that she said to God, "I don't understand, but I trust you. Your ways and your thoughts are higher than mine. Speak to me, God. Bring me comfort." And then she opened her Bible, and there on the page that she opened it to, she read these words from Isaiah 55. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace." In October of 2013, at 30 years of age, Kristen went to be with God. In her last conversation with her husband, Mike, with her head in his lap, she whispered a song of praise to God. It took all the strength she had to whisper that song, but it was a song of joy. Kristen knew that God's grace was sufficient for her and that God's power is made perfect in weakness. That's how she could face her own weakness with joy. God has the power to answer every prayer and take away every weakness and every sickness. He could make our life as smooth as silk. He could make this life no problem. Why doesn't he? Because our life is meant to reflect God's love and God's power. And God's power is made perfect in weakness. May we have the faith to say with Paul, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." Hear those words. May we learn to really believe these words. "When I am weak, then I am strong." Amen.